time for our World Weekly Wrap-Up with the King of International Affairs, Dr. Keith Suter. He is the man behind the Global Truths podcast on the List of Wrap, and he's on the telephone line now. Dr. Keith, good morning to you. What a week, eh?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Let's start with this ceasefire, or as you would put it, a diplomatic pause between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. We were expecting hostages to be freed yesterday and a prisoner exchange system to be put into action. That's been postponed.
It's been postponed. And of course, both sides are fighting as hard as they can to make the most of whatever time's left before this actually does get introduced. The Israeli government is not happy with having to do it. It's clearly that they're behaving, you know, under pressure from the United States. And, of course, international opinion, all the rallies we see, not least here in Australia. So they really don't want to carry it out. Their fear is that Hamas will use the pause for a time to sort of get their act together and get ready for the next round. So it's simply a pause. It's not a ceasefire. And the Israeli Defense Force have said they don't want to have a ceasefire for several weeks yet.
Tell me about this prisoner exchange system, because for people like me, uneducated and looking at it from the outside, it doesn't seem to be a fair exchange. I mean, you've got, and by that I'm talking about numbers. I'm talking about hostages versus political prisoners. The Palestinians that Israel have in jail, what are they in jail for?
Oh, a variety of offences. Including, of course, a lot of children also end up there in that system. They're going to be, I think, amongst the first ones to be released. The hardened criminals will be amongst the last to get released. So they're in for a variety of charges. It's being organised by Qatar. And also I noticed that Egypt is playing a role along with the United States. And the International Committee of the Red Cross will actually do the detailed work moving people back and forth. We've had them in the past between Israel and Palestinian groups. So in that respect, nothing completely new. But the numbers involved this time around, of course, is much greater than we've seen before. Remember, Corporal Shalit 20 years ago was kept in those tunnels for 5 years.
Yes.
And then he was eventually released with a large number of Palestinian prisoners also being released.
Yes, the number wasn't proportionate, and that's what I was saying.
No.
So diplomatically, these things are nutted out, and it doesn't happen. Are you hopeful, Dr. Keith?
I'm never very hopeful when I'm talking about the Middle East, I'm afraid. But at least, you know, if they can stop some of the fighting and allow humanitarian aid to go in, I think that'll be a bit of a breakthrough for the Palestinians. So from that point of view, it's good. And also, if you're a hostage, it enables the people who are caught by the Hamas to perhaps go to freedom. So, yes, one has to keep one's hopes up, even in a hopeless situation.
Yeah. Look, you've got to stay optimistic, haven't you? But the thing is, once this is all done and dusted, the hostages released, the political prisoners released from detention, what's to stop Israel then going hell for leather?
No, nothing. And the Israeli Defense Force have said they will do so, because they're determined to try to wipe out Hamas this time round. So you're right. That, you know, the war is not over at all. Now, we might get a few humanitarian pauses here and there, but we've got a long way to go in this campaign.
Yeah, and so we'll hear things later today.
Yeah.
That's the schedule. But, you know, what's a schedule in this sort of diplomatic situation, hey? Dr. Keith Suter is with us. During the week, Dr. Keith, another diplomatic incident with China, a Chinese sonar incident. And there was criticism of our Prime Minister for not coming out and saying, did you talk to President Xi Jinping about this incident? And he wouldn't confirm or deny. Is that the usual response from a Prime Minister?
Yes, because a lot of this is going to go on behind closed doors.
Because our trade deal with China is still very, very shaky.
Exactly. And it, for me, it shows that you've still got two strands of opinion within China. On the one hand, you've got President Xi, who's trying to improve relations with the rest of the world. They're doing it through trade, etc. And then you've got the People's Liberation Army, in this case, running the Navy. So it's the PLA yes. Navy. They're the ones who attacked the frogmen working under the Taruppa. So with the ship had been caught up in fishing nets, and so frogmen were sent down to try to get the fishing nets off. The ship had stopped, and then the Chinese Navy, the PLA Navy, came along and started sending sound waves through the area near them. Very disorienting for the frogmen. It's an irresponsible act by the Chinese. The ship itself, the Toowoomba, was in the Japanese waters in the exclusive economic zone of Japan. So it's not Chinese. Mm-hmm. It's not in the disputed waters. It just shows that you've got the civilian leader of China with one agenda and you've got the PLA with a completely separate one. They're still working on the old script of being hostile towards other people.
So they're a power unto themselves. It's not one united defence force. I'm so glad you explained that. But my understanding is that the HMS Toowoomba had the correct naval flags showing that they had divers in the water.
This is absolutely irresponsible on the part of the PLA. There is no excuse for their behaviour. Totally wrong.
What is this sonar bombing that they're using? It's obviously a deliberate weapon. What's it used for?
Well, it's not so much a weapon. It's just a simple navigation.
It's a navigational tool.
Yeah, you're sending out sound waves, a bit like radar, but it's radar operating under the water.
Kind of like what whales and dolphins use, but on a much bigger scale.
Yeah.
And so it's a navigational tool that you would not ever implement when there are divers in the water.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's very disorienting when they get hit by it, and they can sustain physical injuries. By the looks of it, the sailors were a bit knocked around, but certainly there were no deaths recorded. But it was irresponsible behaviour by the PLA Navy, and there's been no real justification for it. The civilians in Beijing are trying to say, oh, well, the ship was very close to Chinese waters, etc. But that's complete rubbish. I just don't believe what they're saying. The Toowoomba had acted fully responsibly, getting some repairs done, and the PLA Navy, by contrast, had acted completely irresponsibly and clearly not following the new script of President Xi, who's moving away from his hostile wolf diplomacy to what I'm calling panda diplomacy. The Chinese are now nice and cuddly. Word hasn't reached the Navy yet, though.
The Navy hasn't read the email. Isn't that extraordinary? Are you still hopeful that our trade deal with China will be repaired?
Oh, yes, because I think the Chinese have realised that trying to bully Australia has not worked. China is in a very bad way. The real estate bubble continues to go badly for the government. There's an infrastructure bubble. And for the first time in the last few months, we've seen a reduction in the total amount of foreign direct investment. The word has gone out to overseas companies, don't do business with China, don't invest in China. That's why I say President Xi has embarked on this panda diplomacy, because the hostile wolf diplomacy has simply failed. And at this time, China needs to be making friends and influencing people, not turning people away. But as you said, the PLA Navy has not read the email.
It's the weekly World Wrap-Up with expert on international affairs, Dr. Keith Suter. Dr. Keith, this week saw the 60th anniversary of the assassination of JFK. It was the political assassination that stopped the world and still does. And the documentaries, the conspiracy theories still create enormous interest. I'm too young to remember it. I hate to tell you this, Dr. Keith, you weren't. and that assassination, along with Martin Luther King, are two assassinations that, as I say, still get talked about today.
Yes, I might also add there was a third one, which is that of Robert Kennedy.
Robert Kennedy, I'm sorry, of course.
Yeah, so we've had three. The last two were in 1968. So the Kennedy assassination was in, as you say, 1963. So we're talking about 60 years ago. For those of us who were alive at the time, we remember exactly where we were when the news came through. What is fascinating is that as the decades have rolled by, we've got to learn more and more about what has happened with the assassination. We now know that Lee Harvey Oswald could not have carried out the assassination on his own. He may well have been involved in it, but he didn't carry it out entirely. We now know the president was shot from the front and Lee Harvey Oswald was high up behind the president and was trying to fire a very inefficient Italian rifle through a tree which has many branches and leaves. So the bullets came from a gunman or gunmen who were either on the grassy knoll or on the railway overpass or under the underpass, and may even have been in the drainage system on the roadway.
And do you think professional snipers?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
This couldn't have been done by Lee Harvey Oswald alone. He may well have fired something. That's still a matter of debate. But we know from the direction in which the president was shot that it was not Lee Harvey Oswald. The bullets went through his throat from the front and then went through his skull again from the front. So that couldn't possibly be Lee Harvey Oswald. You use the phrase conspiracy theory. It's worth bearing in mind that CIA invented that phrase exactly at the time when people were beginning to be sceptical of the official explanation about the Kennedy assassination. And they try to hose it all down by simply saying, oh, no, there's nothing to see here. That's just a conspiracy theory. A decade later, a congressional inquiry agreed that Lee Harvey Oswald did not act on his own, but left open how many people were involved. My guess is we'll never get the full information. Oliver Stone made a movie about JFK.
Yeah, did you like it?
He then forced Congress into producing the JFK Records Act 30 years ago, which said that all government departments had to publish everything that they've got relating to the assassination. And government departments have been doing that in dribs and drabs as the years have rolled by. The one holdout has been CIA. Now, Donald Trump in 2016 promised to force CIA to release what they've got, and he didn't follow through. And Joe Biden has said recently that he won't even attempt to raise it with CIA. So there are at least 5,000 key documents. And I think CIA are perhaps embarrassed about the fact that they had been monitoring Lee Harvey Oswald's emails some months before, not emails, ordinary letters,
correspondence,
telephone calls. Before the assassination took place. So they were monitoring him, but they failed to act. So it was from the CIA point of view, it could have been a failure to act, or ironically, it could well be CIA carrying out an assassination plot because they were doing that elsewhere with other leaders. Did they do it on their own?
One last question. Who was Jack Ruby? We know he was a nightclub owner. Was he a...
He was a nightclub owner who may, in fact, have known Lee Harvey Oswald. We're still trying to work out the exact relationship between him and CIA. He certainly had good relationship with the Dallas police, who enjoyed going to see his strip shows. So it's all very murky.
Okay. Will the truth ever come out?
No.
Why?
I doubt it. I think that full explanation will not come to light. And so many of the people at that time have died, including, of course, key witnesses of that era who all seem to be committing suicide or having all sorts of accidents.
Yeah.
One of my favourite one, if you're just going to give me an extra minute, is Kennedy's own mistress, who got murdered in Washington, D.C., around the time that the first official report was going to be issued, the Warren report. She got murdered in suspicious circumstances. The black fellow who was charged with the murder was innocent and was the case that was argued brilliantly by the first black woman member of the Washington Bar, who, by the way, lived to be 103. She did a brilliant job. But Kennedy's own mistress, it was assumed, was getting ready to denounce the official report, and so she had to be bumped off. And that one of the witnesses to the matter, coincidentally, gave as his home address a CIA safe house.
Look, there you are. And to bring it all around home, Jack Ruby murdered Lee Harvey Oswald on this day, November 24.
Yep. That's it.
There you are. I've brought it home. Dr. Keith, we'll wait and hear more about the ceasefire, or as you put it, the diplomatic pause between tensions between Israel, Gaza and Hamas. That's due to happen sometime today. And no doubt we will see you on Channel 7 Sunrise today and over the weekend.
Indeed. Absolutely.
And listen out for Dr. Keith's podcast. It's compelling listening. It's called Global Truths, and you can hear it anytime you want on the Listener app.